very good, Miss Ashley and Miss Sandy. Appreciate that song, Beulah Lamb. If you would, in your Bibles, turn to Psalm 131. 131, this will be our last of the messages in this particular passage. Not the last in the series of lessons on spiritual growth, but we want to touch on one more thing that is inferred here for us. And this passage that David, the king of Israel, wrote. Look with me again. Psalm 131, verse 1 says, Lord, my heart is not haughty, nor mine eyes lofty, neither do I exercise myself in great matters or in things too high for me. Surely I have behaved and quieted myself as a child that is weaned of his mother. My soul is even as a weaned child. Let Israel hope in the Lord from henceforth and forever. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you today and again for just all that you've done for us, the many blessings you've bestowed upon us. We thank you for the love that you've displayed to us. And Lord, improving it by going to the cross. We pray for our youth tonight and the master's clubs and all those that are being discipled tonight, that you would just lead and direct in each one of the teachers and give them the words to say. We just pray tonight that in everything you would be glorified and lifted up. And we do ask that through this message that each of us would again consider and just recommit to submit to you. In Jesus' name, amen. We've been, again, going over the process by which God has for us, and that is God's goal for His children is maturity. And again, as we think about the analogy tonight, we think of a birth of a child and the little baby there, as the baby learns to crawl and the baby learns to eventually walk. The baby's on the bottle and eventually learns to eat solid food. And that's part of the maturing process. In fact, we would be concerned if a baby did not develop into being able to crawl and being able to walk. We'd be concerned. We'd take them to the doctor. We would get them checked out. We'd be concerned if a baby just stayed on milk and didn't graduate up to solid food. And we'd be very concerned. And so God's goal for each of us as Christians is to mature, and the goal for Him is for each of us to continue to grow and mature as Christians. And when we don't, I think absolutely we ought to be concerned ourselves that we are not maturing. And I know sometimes as a pastor I can look out and say, I don't understand why this person is this way or acting this way and developing this way, and just concerned about the spiritual growth of Christians. And each of our Sunday school teachers should be the same way. As you think about your class and the various kids that are there, as you teach them, the various adults, as you're teaching the adults, that they are growing spiritually and where they're at spiritually. So God's goal for each Christian is that we mature. And God uses, the method He uses is the weaning process, and that He uses various things that come into our life to pull us away and to get us out of our comfort zone, to as we're going to learn tonight, to shape us and mold us and make us. And again, when a baby is weaned, it's not because the mother doesn't like the baby. It's because the baby needs to mature and grow, and it is for his or her own good. In fact, the future of that child depends upon it. The success of that child's life depends upon it. And so God knows that it's the case with us as well. That the success of your Christian life depends upon you being weaned and, again, growing in that maturing process. So God's method of maturing His children is weaning. But if weaning is to be accomplished, and if weaning is to accomplish His purpose, His children must submit to Him. This is a tough one. Y'all ready? Everybody smile. All right. I know growing up that it took a little while for me to get the idea that I should submit to my father. I was a hyperactive kid, a lot like Micah has been. And my dad had to apply the Board of Education seat of understanding a lot. I've had families come into my office many times and say, Preacher, we have tried this and we have tried that, and this child just doesn't get it. I said, well, just keep doing it. Stay consistent. Love that child. Stay consistent. He or her will eventually get it. Most of the time it's a he. Will get it. You just have to continue to wean that child and continue to bring that child along. And at some point, you have to get that child to the place where that child submits. We would call it breaking his will or her will. You have to break a child's will. Not break their spirit, and that's a whole different message. But you're trying to break their will. You're trying to usurp your authority over them. Say, I am the boss. And if you ever get it done, for the most part, usually by the age of 6 is when you want it done, then you'll stay the boss. Everybody's looking at me like, what? No. It's true. So, again, God is maturing us. And God is doing so by way of weaning us. But in order to wean us, He has to accomplish within us the understanding that we must submit to Him. When the will is submitted, the heart will be calm. Read the verse again here in verse 2. Surely I have behaved and quieted myself as a child that is weaned of his mother. My soul is even as a weaned child. But look at that very first part. It says, surely I have behaved and quieted myself. That word behaved in the Hebrew has to do with calming. Now again, get the picture. David's writing this, and as he is there in the courts of Saul, King Saul, the Bible says in other places in Samuel, it says that David behaved himself wisely in the court of Saul. If he hadn't have, he would have had his head gone, right? Listen, or it would have been whatever. He would have been killed. David was already anointed king when he was in Saul's court, when he was in Saul's palace. Everybody get the picture now? This is so good. And the Bible says even though David had been anointed by Samuel, the prophet, David understood that that meant that someday he was going to be king. Don't think David was naive. He knew when he got, you know, anointed by the prophet and by the high priest that he was the man. But the Bible says he behaved himself wisely in the courts of Saul. In this verse he is saying, now again, remind you, this particular psalm was put in here 300 years after David died. No, we don't know whether David intended for anybody to ever see it, but we know God intended for us to see it. It was included in the Scriptures. So David's not being haughty or prideful. This is probably a prayer that he was praying to God, you know, by himself alone, and then God included it in the Scriptures for us to read. And David's simply saying, I'm not trying to be haughty or whatever. My soul is calm and quieted. In other words, even though I'm in Saul's court, even though I see what all is going on, even when he was being chased by Saul, David had a very calm spirit. He knew God was in control. He wouldn't touch the anointed one. I mean, you just think about all the things that David went through. When the will is submitted, the heart will be calm and quieted. David, again, handled himself calmly and quietly, and submitting. Not only submitting to the will of God, or not only submitting to God, but submitting to Saul. That's another important matter now. Listen, David did not just submit to God, he submitted to Saul as well, there in the palace. As we think about maturity, we think about, again, submitting. And we ought to submit. In fact, 1 Peter goes over this many, many times, and Peter talks about submitting to various authorities. If we are to have success in the worldly environment in which we live, as we had a revival this year with Brother Bob Smith, and just talking with him for an hour or so up in the office, and just kind of going through, he was really just very practical and was going over some practical things such as, he said, think about it for a moment. Think about your people and what they go through every day. For instance, I did not have to listen to one cuss word today. Not one. Brother Stone didn't come in the office and slam the door and say, blankety blank, boom, boom, boom. You know, we didn't have to beep it out or anything. Right? Now, there are certain times in which I enter into certain areas, even here close beside us, that I have to listen to a cuss word or two. Some of you are smiling because you know the inside joke. There's times, even some of my city duties that I have in which I get around people. But very rarely do I get around people who I'm subjected to who are cussing and worldly and all the things that most of you have to endure or go through every day. Now, again, I worked in the oil field for 2 years. I mean, it's not like I've been sheltered all my life. People in the oil field cuss like sailors, and they're known for it. But it's been a long time since I've had to deal with any of that. But a lot of you guys deal with it every day. And Brother Smith made the comment. He didn't make it to you guys when he was here, but he said, I'm amazed that our people, and he was referring to his church and ours, he said, that our Christians can be spiritual at all. As much as we are around, and as much as you are around various influences, and even the tragedies that we all go through and the trials we go through, we think about the various culture things we have to go through, even the government and the things going on today with that and how discouraging we can become. I mean, and we just think about out-and-out paganism around us. It's unbelievable today in this world, the influences that are around us. Unbelievable the things we need to remember. I just saw one of the boys we're trying to help go by a while ago, and Brother Kelly knows who it was. Did you see him as he walked by a while ago? You know, it's unbelievable what our teenagers go through and the influences that are around them. Unbelievable. And so, absolutely, we need to think about for a moment that in order for us to be successful in the world in which we live, in order for us to be a light in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, we must submit to the Lord. We must submit. In order for a child, for the most part, to live a successful life as an adult, at some point, he's got to submit to his parents. Now, we know kids can turn around from time to time, but if that child is truly going to be successful, at some point, they're going to submit to their parents. I've always said, if they won't submit to the parent, then they won't submit to God. If they won't submit to daddy, they won't submit to God. If they won't submit to daddy, they won't submit to that first boss, and they'll go from job to job to job to job. And so, until someone, Lord willing, they get saved and they turn their life around, right? The Lord's the only one that can fix that. But we as Christians need to submit to our Heavenly Father. I don't want to take the time tonight to go over and read all of 1 Peter, but let's go over there for just a minute. Look at 1 Peter chapter 2. And you can read some of this yourself, and most of you will know a lot of this and have read it. 1 Peter chapter 2, and look with me in verse 11. It says, "Dearly beloved, I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation." Boy, that's a sermon all itself. But look at verse 13. "Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be of the king or supreme." So Peter goes on to say, listen, we ought to submit to the governmental authorities. I mean, it's... You know, I know a preacher out in Florida wouldn't pay his taxes. Well, he's in sin. That's wrong. We should submit to government authorities. Amen. Nobody likes that. But that's the law, and we should submit to it. And as long as it doesn't go contrary to this, as long as they're not asking me to, you know, kill some, whatever. But we should submit to the government authorities. Amen. Well, that might be a tough one later on. Y'all better be careful as we say amen. Because there's some things, absolutely, that I believe the Constitution absolutely speaks against that our government's trying to do, my personal opinion. And so, in chapter 2, and don't get me started, verse 18, "Servants are to be subject to your masters." We are to be subject to our masters. And, of course, the illustration for us to be subject to those who we work for. Right? We ought to be subject to them. Subject to our masters. He goes on to say in chapter 3, "Likewise, ye wives, be subjection to your own husbands." And wives ought to be in subjection to their husbands. Of course, I always like to point out that Ephesians chapter 5 says that they ought to be submissive to one another. All right? But there is an authority, and we're going to talk about that in a moment. Christian wives ought to be subjected to their husbands. In chapter 3, verse 8 through 12, It just speaks about the things we should do for each other. Finally, be ye all of one mind. Chapter 3, verse 8. Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren. Be pitiful. Be courteous. Not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise, blessing. Knowing that ye are thereunto called, that you should inherit a blessing. And this goes on to say, and what it's saying there is we should submit to each other. As Christians, we should be looking out for each other. As Christians, we should be on the lookout for and helping each other. And being a blessing to each other. In fact, it says there, not even when someone renders you evil, you shouldn't render them evil back, but you should be a blessing to them. Well, that's a tough one, isn't it? But a sign of maturity, a sign that you are growing, a sign that you are growing in conforming to the image of Jesus Christ is this subjection, is being subject to the authorities, is being subject to those who have rule over you, whether it's your boss or whomever it may be. It's wives who are in subjection to their husbands. It's Christians being in subjection to each other. One of the tall-tale signs that we are saved is that we have a love for each other as brothers and sisters in Christ. That verse there in Philippians, it says, Paul says to that church, he says, I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state, for all seek their own and not the things which are Jesus Christ. Paul was saddened that, hey, I don't have anybody I can send you because everybody's selfish. Boy, we shouldn't be that way. Amen? Looking out for others, be in subjection to each other. In fact, chapter 5, verse 5, there are some young people here tonight. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. And there's biblical truth behind that. Reverencing our elders and the way I was taught growing up. And there's a lot of young people, they have no reverence for their elders. Well, I always think about David. And then David followed Saul, and Solomon followed David. When Solomon died, you know, his son took over. And instead of following the advice of the older man, he followed the advice of the younger man. And that's the reason why Israel split into two nations. It's crazy. So we submit to those who are older than us. Listen closely now. This is a Warren Wiersbe quote. In a world of rebels, we should model submission. I've had people, especially teenagers and even some adults, young adults, say to me, well, I just don't like people telling me what to do. You hear kids say that, you know. Well, you're always going to have somebody telling you what to do. Oh, my goodness. You say, I'm going to be CEO of da-da-da-da. No, there'll still be a board telling you what to do. There'll always be somebody telling you. You own your own business? You're going to have a homeowner telling you what to do. You're going to have somebody telling you what to do. Well, I can walk off the job, yeah. In this day and age, you've been very careful. You may not find another one. Absolutely. We are rebels at heart because we're selfish by nature. I know teenagers that will do exactly opposite of their parents just because. I'm talking about exactly the opposite of what their parents say just because. And I see parents who will not put their foot down. I'm going, what in the world are you thinking? They're rebels at heart. They need perimeters, and all children do. But we as adults, we'll sometimes get in that mode. You know what I'm saying? We need to be careful. We need to be submissive. You know, Jesus was humble. When he was reviled against, he did not retaliate. He's just so submissive and humble. Not a sissy, but power under control. Power under control. We need to understand that we must model submission in front of others. The greatest thing you can do, if you're here tonight and you have a spouse who is lost, the greatest thing you can do is submit to them. I know we have a couple ladies here tonight. Submit to them. You say, well, that's tough, preacher. It's hard to do. I know it. Wife, all of our wives here tonight, the greatest thing you can do is submit to your husband. We'll talk about that in a moment. The word submit is a military term meaning to rank under. Again, as we think about the military and the generals and captains and all down through there, coming down to the privates, there is an authority that each one is submitted to or submissive to. By the way, there may be a private who is a better man than a general, but he's going to have to follow the orders. Doesn't mean that you're less a person because you're submitting to the person above you. Doesn't mean a woman's less of a person than a man. I mean, I know women who are smarter than their husbands, there's no doubt. In fact, most of us in the room could be put in that category. By the way, I failed to mention my wife's sick tonight, be in prayer for her. And Brother Henderson's not feeling. Brother Henderson's been real unsteady lately. So be in prayer for him. But there's a lot of wives that are smarter than their husbands. So it has nothing to do with it. It has to do with authority and the rank in which God has placed in His Word. And so we must submit to these. Submission is not the demeaning or destroying of a person, but the acceptance of God's order. God has order. By the way, God's a God of order. And without order, there'd be chaos. I mean, we don't like the government infringing upon... I do think that my opinion is they're infringing upon our rights and have been so for several decades now. And I wish they'd stop and back off. But without some government order, there would be chaos. There has to be some order. Everybody with me? Now, our Constitution's limited that, and our government has overstepped its bounds, but there needs to be some form of limited government. Anybody want me to continue in that area? Or I'm kind of sick of hearing it. I'd like to just go on. Submission to that. Again, there's an order in everything. God has placed this in the Bible, by the way. There's supposed to be an order in the home, an order in the church. There's order in society. We think about the order in the home as God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy. In fact, Brother Eddie Johnson, one of the very first messages that Heritage ever heard almost 11 years ago was a message by Brother Eddie Johnson, the pastor of the Grayson Bible Baptist Church in Sherman, preaching on godly authority. And I never forget him preaching through it, and him and I have gone through it. You know, there's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, the husband, the wife, the children. That's God's authoritative in the home. And if that was followed, the world would be a much better place. You say, well, that's what the Bible says. By the way, it's not just the wife submitting to the husband, it's the children submitting to the parents. I'll cover that in a moment. In church, there is an order. There's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And again, they put the pastors, the under-shepherd, the deacons, and the congregation. There's an ordained authority that God has put in place. And if it was followed, there'd be much, much less problems. In society, there's an order set up by the Lord in the Bible. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, kings, governors, and us little underlings. But there is an order, and those are found in the Scriptures. The authority. Romans chapter 6 speaks of the unsaved, unwilling to submit to the righteousness of Christ. You know why some will not be saved? It's because they're unwilling to submit to the Lord Jesus Christ. They're unwilling to submit to His righteousness, just how high He really is. By the way, Christ is so wonderful. Our God is so great and so good to us. James 4 speaks of that authority in the church and church problems. There are many who are not willing to submit to leadership and not willing to submit to each other. James says in James 4, 1 through 7. Be a much better place, and I'm glad for our church. It's been wonderful. Much better place if we submit to the authority which God has ordained. Let me speak a little bit more on the family. Ephesians 5 speaks of the family and the husband, the wife submitting to her husband. But we know there in verse 18 or so, the Bible says that the husband and wife should submit to each other. And then the wife should submit to the husband and love, and the husband should love his wife even as Christ loved the church. Everybody remember the scripture? Our families would be much better off if the wife would indeed follow her husband. You say, well, he this or he that doesn't say anywhere that you submit to your husband as long as he's doing whatever you want. I appreciate Brother Watson laughing at that. By the way, the same applies to the kids. Your children who are up in the Master's Clubs tonight should submit to you. Children, obey your parents and Lord, for this is right. And it's our job to again, I won't use the word encourage, I would say make them submit. At an early age, kids should obey their parents. You know, when you go into a grocery store, your kid throws a fit in the aisle, he should only do that one time. Or she should only do that one time. Do it before they get older. Train up a child in the way they should go. The psychologists tell us that 6 years old is kind of a very formative, six and down, such formative time. So I'll handle it after that. And Micah was a little after that. Man, we had to work at it for a couple more years. My dad had to work it on me till I was 12. I got a whipping every day till I was 12 years old. Work at it. By the way, don't you want your kids to be a blessing to you when they get older? Some of you are experiencing that. Well, then, if you want your kids to rise up and call you blessed as the Bible describes, then make them submit to you. By the way, the Lord asks us to be submissive to Him. He does so in a loving fashion. We can do that. All right, it comes down to this. Jesus submitted to the Lord, and Jesus submitted to His Heavenly Father. He is the greatest example. We think about submission. We think about Christ submitting to the Father's plan. Not my will, but thy will be done. Let's move on. Rules for weaning. Rules for weaning. Listen to these. Four things. Don't let God take anything good from you. Give it to Him willingly. Don't let God take anything from you. Give it willingly. A child. Whatever it may be. Lord, here it is. Here she is. Lord, this is yours. Nothing is ours. Take my life and let it be. Lord, consecrated, hold it to thee. Nothing is ours. It's all His. Pretty simple thought, isn't it? We think about Isaac, Abraham offering up Isaac. Isaac's the Lord's. Two, it isn't the end. Talking about the weaning. Weaning is not the end, it's the beginning. Think about it for a child. It's a freedom for the child. We've already preached on this. The Lord gives, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord, Job said. The Lord gives us everything. It's not the end, it's the beginning. Three, weaning is a mark of strength, not weakness. It means the child's gotten to the point they can eat food. And all his parents say, hallelujah. Because, like I said, my wife started shoving down the food, hard food as quick as possible. It's a lot cheaper. You know that little cereal stuff? Did you ever taste that? Every parent has to taste it. Some of those little baby food containers, some of those are pretty good. We didn't use baby food much, though. We went straight to steak. That's why our kids are the way they are. God intends for us and loves us, and He knows when that process is taking place. And again, He always has our best interest in mind. And many times, not only is He taking some good things away from us to give us better, but sometimes He's taking better things away from us to give us the best. That's another sermon as well. Number four, remember the goal in maturity. Hang on. Remember the goal is maturity, not security. God is maturing us. You're never more secure than when you're in the will of God. Right? You may not feel secure, but you're never more secure than when you're in God's will, wherever that may be. We would think of a missionary in this instance of being in Africa. And I've heard it said, I'm telling you, more than once, I've had a family who's maybe surrendered to missions. Not maybe, they have, or and get around, it comes around to this, I'm not going to the mission field because I'm scared for my kids. I'm telling you, if it's God's will for you to go to the mission field and you don't do it, I'd be more scared for your kids here in America than I would in Africa. So, well, preacher, that's that's it. We're more secure when we're in God's will. God's intention for us is maturity, not security. We must be submitted to Him, to His love, and to His purpose. Then we do have security. We think of several people in the Bible that illustrate for us the will of God in various ways in which they have responded to it. We think about Judas, who was pretending to do God's will. He was a hypocrite, right? Just playing the part. And there's lots of people out there just playing the part. We think about Peter. He was opposed to God's will. And here they come out to meet Jesus, and Judas comes up and kisses the Savior there in that garden, and Peter pulls out his sword and whack! Cuts the soldier's ear off. And Jesus is like, hey, puts the ear back on. That must have been amazing. By the way, he talked and all them soldiers were knocked down. Amazing. If that was to happen, why wouldn't you say as a soldier, I think there's something different about this man, you know? Maybe I should leave him alone. If he could put an ear back on, But Peter, man, and Jesus, I want the exact quote, but he says, Peter, I'm here to take up this cup that the Lord has given me. This is the purpose God's given me. I'm here to do the will of God. I'm here to take the cup that God has given me. I'm not here to take the sword. I'm here to take the cup. Peter, boy, he was opposed to God's will. That's found in Luke 22, by the way, if you want to go read that later. Jesus submitted to God's will. He said, let not this cup pass from me. He submitted to them. Submitted to God, the Heavenly Father. Two options in submitting to God's will. Not my will, but thy will be done. Or, what I will, not your will be done. Right? I mean, it's pretty simple. Hard to do, but pretty simple. And I marked this down. I said, do you know better than God? I ought to write that in your Bible somewhere. Just when we talk about submission and submitting to His will and to what He wants, do we know better than God? The answer is no. Because we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. See, God has the newspaper for tomorrow. He has the newspaper for the next day. He has a newspaper for the month from now, a year from now. I mean, He knows the beginning from the end. Therefore, He knows everything. And He knows what you're going through. He sees you, as we've been preaching on Sunday morning. I mean, He saw those disciples there rowing in the boat. Even though He physically could not see, He was seeing them. And God sees exactly where we're at. And we should submit to Him and to His will. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And I won't even go into that because Brother John Allen did such a tremendous job on that verse the other night, the missionary from Papua New Guinea. I was so touched by that. But God begs us. He says, listen, Paul begs us, said, we are to submit, we are to present our bodies a living sacrifice. That word sacrifice there is going all the way back to the Old Testament, to the burnt offering. And the burnt offering was intended and put on the altar, and all of it was burnt. It was all consumed. None of it was left. Many of the other sacrifices were done, prepared certain ways, and some of it was burnt without the camp and all this. I mean, I'm talking about the burnt offering. All of it was burnt, every bit of it. Picturing that Christ gave His all. All was consumed. The Bible speaks of it being a sweet-smelling savor. When we submit to Him, it's a spiritual act of worship. By the way, when we submit to Him, it is an intelligent, voluntary act of worship. In other words, we get to decide. God doesn't go contrary and will not go contrary to our will. In other words, if those disciples out in that boat would have seen Jesus, Jesus is not going to go over there and force Himself in the boat. He's given us a free will. That's all I'm saying. Isaac willingly, everybody with me now, 5 more minutes. Isaac willingly submitted to his father, Abraham. and placed himself on the altar. How do I know that? Abraham was over 100. This boy was a teenager, probably maybe even close to 20 years old. He could have taken his father, no doubt. Everybody with me? Jesus Christ, the Bible says, no man took my life, but I lay it down. He laid his life down for us. Laid it down for us. Isaac willingly laid himself there on the altar. Jesus Christ willingly laid himself down on that cross of Calvary to shed his blood for us. In other words, they were not bound, but they were placed. And can I tell you that that's what God intends for us? Not bound, but place ourselves on the altar. Make our bodies a willing sacrifice, holy and acceptable to Him, which is our reasonable service. We had already covered this pretty much, but the love relationship that Christ has with us is illustrated for us in the husband and wife relationship in Ephesians chapter 5. And can I tell you, in the marriage relationship, you better not base your marriage upon how you feel sometimes. Marriage has its ups and downs. Every mountain has a valley on the other side, right? One day you feel this way, the next day you may feel the other way. Marriage is not based upon our feelings. Marriage is based upon a commitment to our spouses. Marriage is based upon a commitment made not only to our spouse, but to our Heavenly Father. And there is no room for divorce in the Bible. Even in the area of adultery, the Bible says we should show grace to our spouse. Submit yourself to each other. In other words, press on in your marriage. No matter how you feel or whatever, press on. You see, you understand your relationship with Jesus Christ will vary from time to time. It absolutely will. In the Christian life, there's going to be ups, there's going to be downs, and we should not base our relationship upon how we feel. We should base our decision, our feeling, we should base our maturity and the way we're growing based upon the Word of God, not necessarily how we feel. We should press on. Jeremiah speaks of us being the potter and the clay relationship, that Jesus is the potter and we are the clay. That's an illustration now from the Old Testament. We must submit to the potter. We're out of time. Joseph understood this when he said to his brothers, "You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good." He submitted to the will of God. If we resist, if we resist to do the will of God, God can make us over again. I'm glad He's the God of second chances. Peter, David, I mean, we could go on and on and on of people that God gave second chances to. Jonah. We should submit to Him. Why? Because He loves us. He's working on us, conforming us to the image of His Son. We should submit to each other. We submit to those in authority over us. In other words, we should humbly, willingly submit. That old hymn says, "Have Thine own way, Lord, have Thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me after Thy will. While I am waiting, yielded and still." And that's what God wants from us, submission. Allowing Him to work on us, conforming us to His Son. Let's all stand. Hymn 163, only trust.